That's kind of weak. Good evening, Calvary.
Good evening.
There you go. Make sure everybody's awake. It's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. Good to be saved and have this good number out on a Wednesday night. I appreciate your prayers. Appreciate you being here tonight. Brother Chris had an announcement he wanted me to make that Friday night, don't forget, it's the game night. Many board games and things that you'd like to play down at the Life Center. I think some of them's got some kind of a Rook tournament planned, and I don't know who all the Rook players are, but there's some of them that counts cards and stuff. I played Rook before. Don't claim to be good at it or anything, but Varun Patel has got a photographic memory when it comes to that stuff. He's like Rain Man. Seriously, he just got that, and he's deducing, okay, that's already been played, and that he's one that'll have 10 cards in his hand and say, I got the rest. And you're like, how do you know? You got to play them out. No, I got them all. Believe me. I said, no, you don't. And he does. But anyway, whoever, just remember that. If he's here, you want him on your side. So we've got prayer requests on our heart. Brian Wingler's still down at Baptist. You pray for him, Sharon and Greg, as they make their trips back and forth. And Brother Tam's dad, Brother Feldman, had a procedure done yesterday. I'm praying for him. He's been in a lot of stress and pain over that. So just pray for him and many, many other prayer requests connected to the church. Lord knows them. I saw Brother James. I did not see Lori. Is Lori here tonight? Lori is here. Hey, Lori. No more hospital for you. No more ICU. It's amazing what people would do to get out of Lowe's. So I know you went right back into it, but anyway, we're still praying for Miss Lori, and we got a special guest back here. Brother Fall, it's so good to see you. Many prayers went up for you. Steve said, did you see my dad back there? And I didn't see you, but what a blessing to look. There comes Steve now. What a blessing to have you with us. And we prayed for you while you were in the hospital and during your sickness. But anyway, tonight, if I were to open up with maybe just ask you some questions. And I've already asked several of you, and I've got several different answers. Nobody gave me the same answer. Told you last week that we were going to begin a series about the major Bible doctrines. And I preached a platform message last week about the reason or the need for the teaching of the doctrinal positions of the Baptist faith. And I still believe that. I feel very strong about this study. But then I told you going out of the service last week, where would I start? And I even kind of reasoned in my mind and my way of thinking, where do we start? Do we start at creation? Well, you can't have a creation except that you have a what? A creator. And I thought, well, we've got to have a creator if we're going to have a creation, so therefore I must start at God. And then I started praying and earnestly just trying to decide where we're going to go. And then I got to thinking, well, what are we studying? We're studying basic Bible doctrines. What is doctrine? Doctrine comes from the Greek word doko. Doko means doctor. It means teach, to teach. So I got to thinking, well, what am I going to teach? I'm teaching from the Word of God. So therefore, I have to do first off in my heart and my mind, I believe this is where God would have us to go, to the book of 2 Timothy. In chapter number 3 is where we will begin our series of studies in what will become the major Bible doctrines of the Word of God. And I can't tell you that we'll be each time in succession, but we're going to start off with this first, and it would be the term is bibliology. And I'm not going to bore you with long words. I don't want to get hung up on apologetics or soteriology or hermeneutics or all these other things, because they're just big words is all they are. So what I want to do, though, is to show you tonight would be the doctrine of divine inspiration. If the Word of God is not inspired, if it is not forever settled, and if it is not, and to be inspired, inspiration is only used two times in your Bible. Only two times, and one of them will be in our text verse tonight. But if it is not God breathed, and that's what the word inspiration means, God breathed. Now, this is not like I used this illustration in the men's prayer room. It's not like that of a William Shakespeare who had a gift of writing. They said he was an inspired writer. I'm talking about divine inspiration. I'm talking about holiness. Talking about God breathed. And that's what it means whenever I talk about this. So the text verse for the first series would be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And then I would invite you to stand to give reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to be all over the place tonight. So those who will try to mark up their Bibles, I'll be using a 10th grade curriculum. They say the King James Bible is written on what grade level? What? No, it's lower than the 10th.
It's written on about a fifth grade level. So the King James Bible written on about a fifth grade level. I'm going to be using a help, just like you would use a quarterly in your Sunday school class. I'm going to be using this kind of as a basis. I'm not preaching out of this book. I'm going to be preaching the scriptures. But this is going to become kind of a almost a workbook, if you will. And this is a for you homeschoolers. Did you guys ever use any of Becca book curriculum? Any of you guys at homeschool, raise your hand if you've ever used a Becca book. I see you guys raising your hand. A Becca book is solid. It's as solid as a doctrine. It's as solid as a curriculum as you could get for your homeschool family. So those of you that may be contemplating, and I'm not saying to use it exclusively, some like Bob Jones University Press, some like Alpha Omega, some like Sunlight. There's so many different really, really good curriculums. But we homeschooled for 12 or 13 years, and during our time of homeschooling, we were some of the early pioneers because we homeschooled when there were only 28 homeschooling families in the entire county. And that's how early we were into the homeschool thing. But anyway, the curriculum that we chose was a company called a Becca Book. And a Becca Book is out of Pensacola Christian College. In this particular book, I've got books by Herman Lockyer. I've got Herbert Lockyer. I've got books from other people. But they just didn't do for me what I wanted to do in the study to present to you, the church, about the basic Bible doctrines. So anyway, tonight, I've got you standing, and we're going to read our text verse. There is but one verse on this particular open tonight, and that is in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, and it'll be verse number 16. So go ahead and mark it down, because it says all. And that means every bit of it. It leaves nothing out. It starts in the beginning, and it starts in Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, and it ends in the book of the Revelation, which is the unveiling, if you will, of Jesus Christ. So tonight, and I'm going to try my best to slow down. I'm going to probably end up preaching a little bit. We'll try to teach a little bit, but I do want to help you. The Bible says in that 16th verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Brother Steve Mahaffey, ask God to bless our scripture reading. As you're being seated, even now, let me just kind of give you a historical reference of the Bible as we have it in our hand. This will be interacting tonight, at least to start with. And the only reason I can answer these is because I've been studying it. And if you don't answer, you can't answer it. Don't feel like maybe that you got left out, because it's not that way at all. Does anybody know how many authors there were? Of course, God was the author, but do you know how many writers there were that penned down the Bible as we know it today? And let me just say this at the get-go, at the onset, we're not so much holding to the King James doctrine tonight, or the King James Bible tonight. We'll get into that later on, but it's much later down the line. I'm not talking about divisions or the different versions of the Bible. We're going to continue to use the King James Bible, but this particular teaching is more about the Logos, or the Word of God, the Biblio, if you will. But anyway, it's more about the Bible as a whole rather than in a particular version. We're not going through Tyndale and all of those other translators and all of those men that gave us, which is the seventh completed version into the English language, which is the King James Bible. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, Psalms chapter 12, verses number 6 and 7, that the Word of God is pure, purified in the furnace of the earth, tried seven times. And the King James Bible is that. It is the seventh translation. And we won't get into all of that tonight, because that's not part of this particular focus. But we're King James only. We're going to continue to be King James only, and we will get into that. But moreover tonight, we're looking more at the Bible as a whole. I cannot teach you or tell you another doctrinal position concerning God or any of the others, angels or anything else, except that we have a starting point. We have to have something to refer to. How can I tell you about God? How do we know about God? We read about God. We know about God because of His Word. And we could use John 1 and 1 tonight as another reference point. And we may even go there. But if you're pinning down John chapter number 3:16 in the 2 Timothy, also jot in your notes, First John chapter 1, verse number 1, because it says, in the beginning was what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So whenever we break this thing down tonight, I want you to understand something, that there were 40 different authors or 40 different writers that penned down your Bible. And those 40 writers, and I've got all these notes made up here that I want to share with you. And it would bore you for me to sit here and tell you every single writer of every single book. I would just tell you this, that were many writers of the book of the Psalms. Proverbs was primarily written by Solomon, as was Ecclesiastes in the book of Song of Solomon. Also the 72nd Psalm and the 127th Psalm. And like I said, I would lose you really quickly. But we're not so much getting into the facts that the Bible is made up of the books of the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible being the books of the law. We're not going to get into all of those things tonight. You want to study that out. Our library downstairs is chock full of good information about that. And then you can get down there and study it for yourself. But the Bible as it is written is so fitly framed together that it was written by 40 different writers over a period of this. Now get a load of this. Over a period of 1,500 years. Now that in itself is amazing. That over a 1,500 year span of time, I'm talking about, Brother Chris, 1,500 years. You say, well, that's pretty amazing, but all you got to do is make a few references back and forth and you could tie that thing together pretty quick. My friends, when that thing was written, it was written on the other side, Brother Tam, of Google. It was written on the other side of a modern print press. It was written on the other side, Chad, of the voluminous works of people like Spurgeon or anybody else. Brother Tam, they didn't have somebody they could run over and say, what is that other book going to be written and what's it going to say? Brother Tam, they didn't, that other book was written, be it on papyrus paper or anything else. Brother Steve, they didn't even have a copy of the earlier writings to be able to go back to cross-reference to make sure that somebody didn't cross each other up. So when I say that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it means that it is God-breathed. If it's anything other than God-breathed, then it's not scripture. It's not for us today. We would leave it alone. And we will get just very briefly into the books of the Apocrypha, because many of you are interested in those books. But the books of the Apocrypha, or the apocryphal books, were written, but they were never what we call canonized. They were part of the early Catholic Church. And the canonicity of those books, Brother Tam, they didn't support the other writings, and the other writings did not support them. There were such writings in there that almsgiving was a means of salvation. And Brother Tam, that is completely contrary to the King James Bible. It's completely contrary to the Geneva Bible or any other Bible. So whenever those other writings were found to have heresies or some kind of false doctrine built into them, they were excluded from the divine finished canonized work which we hold in our hand today, which is the finished product of the Lord's Word, the Word of God. And if anything else comes in a late day translation, or somebody finds another book of some kind of prophecy, you shun that work and you shun it right quickly, because the Bible teaches us, and I've got so many scriptures in my mind, I'm trying to slow down, but the Bible said the book that we hold in our lap is of no private interpretation. Okay, there's no new revelation. There's nothing new going to come out. Everything's forever settled. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled, Brother Steve, so don't buy this that somebody come up with another version or some new scroll, some new manuscript was devised or found, because it's not going to be holding true. It's not, Brother Kippy. The word of God that you hold in your hand is the finished product that God inspired and He divinely breathed on His word to give us what we've got in our hands today. The Bible said that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And if you were to talk about the inspiration of God being God-breathed, then what was He doing? Well, He was doing to it what He did to man. When God made man and put him in the garden, brother, he was nothing more than a lump of dirt. God took from the dirt of the ground, from the dust we came, to the dust we will go. But Brother Steve, that man was nothing more than a lump of clay. But God did something to him. What did God do to him? God breathed into his nostrils, and that man became a living soul. The word of God is living. It is quick. That word quick in your King James Bible means alive. He hath made this word alive. And bless God, it lives inside of my heart tonight. It lives inside of your heart tonight. If you've never been pricked by the word of God, then I'm challenging you, my friend, get in there or get under the sound teaching or preaching of somebody that's been in the word of God, that's in love with the word of God, and let him rightly divide these 66 most beautiful books that you'll ever put in one binding. 66 books. 40 authors, or 40 writers. I keep saying 40 authors. I don't want to confuse that. God, the author and the finisher of our faith and of this book. It is the Word of God. But there were 40 distinct writers. 1,500 year period, God breathed. Brother Tammy blew into that. He breathed on this blessed book. So whenever we get in here tonight, I'm going to try to slow down. I want to give you all these different things. But if you're just sitting there pinning down 66, 30, 39 books of the new, old, and 27 books of the new, and Moses wrote the first five, and Solomon wrote, you're going to be, it's there in front of you. It's probably, if you've got any kind of a Bible at all, it's probably got footnotes. It's probably got some stuff written in the front. Right here, the pages that you skip over. It's probably got a concordance or chronology in the back. All of that stuff is there. And my friends, I challenge you and I encourage you to get in there and read it because, man, we're skipping over. You're waiting on Brother Kenny, Brother Chris, or myself to come in here to hit the high spots. Brother, we are preaching as evangelical outreach ministers of Christ. Why? To preach the gospel, to win the lost at any cost, and that's what we're doing. We're preaching the Word of God. But he's told me as a pastor to slow down to try to teach my crowd, and that's what we're going to try to do. So just bear with me, work with me. I told Cindy I am so out of my element whenever I do these things, but that's okay. It's what God said to do. That's what we're going to do. So tonight, anyway, let's look back in there. I told you, 66 books, 39 old, 27 new, over 1,500 years, written by 40 different writers under one author. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Revelation is the last book in the Word of God that was considered inspired by God or breathed on by God. Listen, don't be confused or beset by some later claim of some kind of divine writing, because it's not going to be inspired of God. Now, if the Word of God is not breathed on by God and it's not infallible, I mean infallible, without error, inerrant, if it's not that, Tim, then we've got no claim to anything that I will teach beyond tonight. It's going to be the sole source of every doctrine. It'll be the sole source of everything that we preach, teach, or learn from the pulpit or the classrooms of this church. When you stand before your class, Brother Chad or Brother Steve or any of the other teachers in here, we're using a quarterly. No, that quarterly that you're using is nothing more than something that man hath put together to support the writing that's in your lap tonight, being your Bible. And don't ever forget that. It should never replace it. So anyway, how did we get the Bible? God breathed on it. And he inspired men of old to write this down. And I want to give you just a few. If you want to look along with me, you surely can. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 30, in verse number 5, that every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. That would be found in the Proverbs chapter number 30, in verse number 5. And whenever we talk about being inspired or God-breathed, I want you to understand that that's exactly what it was. It was God giving his gift unto mankind that we might know him better. And like I said, I can't preach on any of the other doctrines or any other things except that we use the Bible as our beginning point, as our start point, as our guidebook, if you will, or our instruction manual for living. So anyway, let's look at some other scriptures tonight that would support the powerful statement of the inspiration of Almighty God. We use this verse tonight, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable. What does the word profitable mean? It means that it is advantageous to you. It is worth something to you. It is profitable unto you. So whenever I say that it is profitable, I mean that will bring you great gain. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and also for instruction in righteousness. And then I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 21. The Bible said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God that spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost of God. So listen to this. A second Samuel chapter number 23 and 2 said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, his word was in my tongue. So whenever these old writers, be it David or Asaph, or whether it be any of the other writers like Solomon or Moses, Brother Tam, it was God that was giving them that divine revelation from Almighty God. You said, I don't really understand all that. Well, get a load of the New Testament writing. When God put John on that isle which is called Patmos, he was out there as a castaway, Brother Tam. He was put out there as a prisoner. prisoner. He was out there after being boiled in oil, and he was there as a prisoner. But bless God, that's what people thought they had him there for. But Brother James, he was out there, according to the 19th verse of the first chapter, for the word and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was out there. And when John, if you don't believe that all of it's inspired, you won't believe that any of it's inspired. But how could John have written down the things that he saw, Brother Tam, even way back in the age before, like I said, before the modern print press, before anything could be paralleled or conjoined or referenced back to? How in the world did God do what God did? It had to be divine. It had to have been inspired. It had to have been God-breathed. So we're looking at a few of the proofs of the inspiration of God, if you will. Thus saith the Lord is written 3,800 times plus in your Bible. Thus saith the Lord. That's why it's very easy for me to come up here and to preach the Bible, Brother Kenny, whenever I can say, thus saith the word of God. Men get in trouble. Preachers get in trouble whenever you sit back and that preacher gets completely outside of the word of God and he starts preaching. Now listen, in my humble opinion, I want to share with you what God... Listen, there's enough times in there, over 3,800 times, that God said, thus saith the Lord. There's enough stuff in there that God said that you'd never have to utter anything about self if you do it right. Like I said, I'm trying to slow down, trying to help us tonight. But anyway, it's hard for me to, it's going to be hard to teach. It's going to be hard for me to do this. But listen, I'm out of my comfort zone, but I'm in God. So we're just going to go with that. The human writers of this word of God. Listen, over and over and over in verses, Exodus 25:1 said, and the Lord spake unto Moses saying. The word came to Jeremiah saying. The word of the Lord came to the days of Josiah. That's in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 1 and 2. Here's some more. The Bible said in John chapter 5 verses 46 and 7, for had they believed Moses, then you would have believed me. For he wrote of me, but if you believe not his writings, how then shall you believe my words? That is the Lord Jesus Christ quoting from the Old Testament writings of Moses concerning himself. If we can't take Genesis 1:1 as being the truth that in the beginning God, then how are we going to take any of the other scriptures as being true? Listen, do we have anybody here tonight? And don't embarrass yourself by raising your hand, but I want you to ask yourself in your heart, does anybody in here believe anything other than intelligent design? You said, I'm not sure that I know what intelligent design is. Intelligent design is that God created it. That God created it. There are people today that are now trying to conjoin intelligent design right alongside of the writings of Darwin. Right along the side of those that would then morph from one species or one genome into something else. It's never been, Brother Tam, in the history of mankind that one species became another species. You do not change genome. You do not change that. When God made it, that was the way that God made it. It does not come from one to another. And so therefore, this theory of evolution is out the window, and we can prove that by going back into the Word of God and showing you that the Word of God is divinely inspired. God made it in the countless of billions of dollars trying to figure out how a man came from a tadpole and to where he's at right now, Brother Danny. Oh, that's just a waste of good money. They could read the first few books of the Bible and understand it all, or the first few chapters and understand that God made it. That's not too hard, is it? Brother Kenny, if man come from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? That's a whole other doctrinal position here. Now we're going from the doctrine of the divinely inspired unto the doctrine of creation. We start mixing those things. But anyway, very few books in the world lay claim to the authorship, to the plurality, the wonderful teaching. You said plurality. Yeah, there's singular and plurality in it. You got the jot and the tittle. The jot and the tittle are the smallest little letters in the Greek alphabet, or the Hebraic alphabet, the smallest little thing across the top of the letter. Looks like this. Looks almost like a house. That little thing goes across the top, Brother Sam. That's a tittle. And the jot's that little thing that comes down the side. If you've ever tried to read Hebrew, we got some books in Hebrew downstairs in the library if you want to look at it. It looks almost like a music note or a staff or something on the music note. You got this little squiggly line. You got the little tittle going across the top of it. It's kind of neat, though, but that's a small... And the Bible said that that's the way that book, every jot and every tittle, it was put right in where God wanted it to be. Are we still all right? All righty. But anyway, if anybody tries to accept authorship of the book, don't believe them. Anybody tries to add to the book, don't believe them. Anybody says, well, we ought to take out that book of Titus. It doesn't belong there. The book of Jonah. Jonah's always under attack. Because I said Jonah was not divinely inspired. Jonah was not canonized. It shouldn't be in the scripture. If it's not canonized, it shouldn't be in there. Why did Jesus use it? Why did the Lord use that as a reference point about the great fish? You got people that argue about the great fish, that it wasn't a whale. Well, then why did Jesus refer to it as a whale if it wasn't a whale? And if Jesus referred to it, Brother Tim, why is it not canonized? It should have been, and it is, right? We put it in right place. So if somebody tries to take it out, you holler at them, run them off, whatever you want to do. The proof of the resurrection, the proof of the inspiration. I'm just going to hit a few of these really quickly. The proof of the divine inspiration comes through the authenticity and the accuracy of the very word of God as it is presented. His virgin birth was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. You remember that verse? Then unto us a son is given. That talks about that. That a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a child and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. That was in the book of Isaiah and the virgin births. It was a sure word of prophecy. It confirms what the earlier teaching, the birthplace, as it was recorded in Micah chapter number 5, verse number 2, told us it would be in Bethlehem. The forerunner of Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3 foretold the story about John the Baptist of his triumphant entry down from Jerusalem, from Bethany of Jerusalem was found in Zechariah chapter number 9, verses 9 and 10. Hey, his side being pierced at Calvary is found in Zechariah chapter number 12, verse number 11. His cry from the cross being one of the seven sayings from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was found in the 22nd Psalm, but there we found it again in Matthew 27, 46 when he carried it out. The darkness concerning the crucifixion was 22nd Psalm. The mocking of the crucifixion was 22nd Psalm. His hands and his feet being pierced was 22nd Psalm. None of his bones being broken was Psalm chapter 34, verse number 20. Being given vinegar to drink was Psalm 69, verse 21. Being buried in a rich man's grave near the wicked people, as it was prescribed in the Bible, was found in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, verse number 9. His resurrection was told in the book of Hosea, chapter number 6, verse number 2, as well as in Psalm 16, 10. Christ's ascension was mentioned in Psalm chapter 110, verse number 1, and Psalm chapter 24, verses 3 through 10. You said, why'd you give us all that, preacher? Because I wanted you to see, Brother Chad, that's on the other side of Google. I mean, God wrote that down, Brother Tam, hundreds of years before it happened. And there was no way for anybody to parlay that, to fast forward it, to preserve it, except that God preserved it. Amen. How did it all work together, Brother Steve? How did it fitly frame itself together that you can be over here in Isaiah talking about something that's going to happen 612 years later, Brother Tam? That's amazing to me. That's inspired. That is divinely inspired. That's God. It has to be God. I mean, I can't think of any other reason or way that that would ever happen. I know tonight's message has not got a lot of alliteration to it. I can't help that. Take that up with God. I can't give you a rhyme and word. Last week, I could show you about the enlightenment, the enrichment, the empowering, the igniting. I could show you all that last week, but this week's different. Are we still all right?
Yes, sir.
Are y'all going to quit coming on Wednesday nights? I hope not. I want you to see the scientific accuracy of the Bible. The scientific accuracy of the Bible. My friends, it's all God or nothing. It's just the way that it is. God created the universe out of nothing. Listen to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. Hebrews 11, 3. Those writing it down. We'll even go there if you want to. Hebrews 11 and 3. The Bible said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. There's that word of God again. We're talking about divine inspiration. It was framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. See what you're saying, preacher? I'm saying God made this thing out of nothing. He made it out of nothing. So the scientific accuracy of the Bible is there. This moisture, this humidity that has been just wearing us all down here lately. Do you realize that spoke up in the Bible in chapter number 135th division of Psalm, verse number 7, that he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. That the earth is not some flat earth I don't know if we've got flat earthers in here tonight. I don't know that. We've had them before, and we'll probably get them again. But the Bible says, some of you are laughing. It's a true story. The Bible said that the earth is spherical in nature or round in nature. It says in Isaiah chapter number 40, in verse number 22, that it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Last time I checked, the circle is a ball. And the last time I looked, whenever we had an eclipse, it didn't look like a box of crackers going across it. It was spherical in nature, and the sun was here, and the moon went by her like that, or the earth come between it. The sun did shine on the earth cast her shadow on the moon, and when it did, it looked kind of like an arch to me. Now, if you saw this, then you might have been looking at something different. I didn't see a square go by there. I didn't see a triangle or rectangle. I saw an arch. The earth's spherical. You say, what's that all about? It's that the book is divinely inspired by God. It's biblically correct. It's physically correct. It's scientifically correct. Rotan, this book is divine. It's holy. There's none like it. Do you realize? Somebody give me a number of the Bibles ever printed, Brother Chris. Throw it out there. I studied it. I know how many there are. Over 6 billion with a B. Brother Tam, and this was in 1992 with the last figure that they had. Over 6 billion Bibles had been printed. And guess how many languages, Brother Chad? I didn't know there was so many languages out there. 2,204 languages. That's how many languages, Brother Steve, that the Word of God has been written and translated into. That blows my little feeble mind. Tell me it's not divine. Is the earth suspended in space or is it not? Is it hung on nothing or is it not? Then how would you know that? You said, well, now we're going to study Scientology rather than bibliology. No, we're still in bibliology. We're still in Bibliology 101. How about this verse of Scripture? It says, Job chapter number 26 and verse number 7. Job 26 and 7. If somebody gets there before me, just start reading it. I ain't there yet. I can't even find Job. I know what's in there. Job is one of the oldest manuscripts in your Bible. I can't find Job. Somebody find Job yet? Read to me. Somebody read it out loud. Verse number 20, chapter 26 and verse number 7. He hung it on what? Not? He hung it on what? He hung it on nothing. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. Brother Tim, how did God do that? And why in the world, before Copernicus, or before anybody ever invented that little looking glass that they could back up and look at something from afar, or man could ascend high enough to become like a satellite and look back toward the earthward, how in the world did a writer that wrote down the book of Job, Brother Tim, how in the world would he know that the earth is hung on nothing? Except that that book is divinely inspired by God. The word is plenary. You ever heard the word plenary? You heard it? Plenary. Some preachers like myself mispronounce it and say plenary. It's not plenary, it's plenary. The plenary verbal inspired word of God. It means all. All inspired. Verbally inspired. God spoke it. There it was. God spoke the earth and it was in existence. God spoke and this happened. God spoke and that happened. But anyway, we're keeping on going. We're going on down through the scientific accuracy. The stars cannot be numbered. In Jeremiah 33:22, the Bible said the hosts of the heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea be measured. The atmosphere has no weight. Job 28 verse 25 said to make the weight for the winds. And I could keep going on and on and on and on. But I want you to see tonight, I'm trying to get over here just another place for just a few minutes, that the modern translation, the modern divisions of the Bible are namely this, for those that's keeping up with it. I told you I wasn't going to hit it and stay long, but I will give them to you this way. The first 5 books of the Bible are commonly referred to as the Pentateuch. They are written by Moses, and that was namely Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then you had the 12 books of the history, or the historical books, being Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. You had 5 books of poetry, that being Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And then we had the major prophets, and I will just throw this out there for your knowledge and sake of knowing. They're major prophets, not because they're major or bigger or more important than the lesser of the prophets whenever we talk about the major prophets and the minor prophets, but yet rather because of the brevity or the shortness of the length of the writers of the new of the minor prophets versus that of the major prophets. But you had the major prophets, which name were Isaiah, Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Jeremiah writing thus his own book, Jeremiah, and also the book of the Lamentation. And then you had the minor prophets, which was Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Those are your books of the modern translated Old Testament writings. Anyway, and if you were interested in, I'm not going to give them to you, you could also read the historical writings about the time frame of the biblical event of the creation of the world being in the book of Genesis, and then you can follow it through to the wilderness wanderings through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There was the years of the conquest, which was recorded by Joshua, the period of judges by Judges and Ruth. And then you had the United Kingdom, found in Samuel and Kings, also Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Then you had the divided years from in the divided kingdom, and then you had the Babylonian exile through Ezekiel, Daniel, and Habakkuk, and then the post-exilic period being Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. But anyway, I'm going forward tonight. I'm going really, really fast because I'm trying to get to a place here. And I want you to see this, that the Word of God is so fitly framed together that it uses the very Word of its own self, the very words of the Word, the pages on, that you hold in your hand to support itself. And Brother Tim, the miraculous part of that is what I go back to when we started this thing up. Y'all looking at me like, are you okay, Keela? Is that it was written over 1,500 years by 40 different people in three different languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. How? How did that all work? Brother Danny, how could 40 different writers, one of them born in this time frame, one of them born 700 years later, one of them born 300 years later, one of them born 200 years later, then another one 300 years later, but yet they all come to the same conclusions, that they all supported each other's works and writings. They propped up each other, Brother Steve, without an encyclopedia, without a computer, without any modern reference tools that we so hold true today. Brother Chris, how did they do that? It was God. It had to be God. So I'm going to go really quickly. My son-in-law just graduated with his degree in Latin. He's got a master's degree in Greek and Latin. You said, do I have to have a master's in Greek or Latin to understand what we're going to go through? No, not at all. You know why we don't need a master's degree in Latin to understand this? The first Bible written as it was translated into the English language come from the Latin Vulgate, the Gutenberg. Okay? But Brother Tim, we've got the King James Bible, which is what? The seventh completed version into the what language? The English language that we all stumble around with. I mean, we slaughter it. We do. We kill it. My son-in-law's teaching Greek and Latin. I'm struggling with English. But the first Bible was the Latin Vulgate Bible or the Gutenberg Bible, which was the first. Let's go ahead and get that. I didn't know we were going there tonight, but we will. Flip over to the book of Psalms just a minute, chapter number 12. Psalms chapter number 12. We'll go there really quickly. And many of you may not know this. Many of you may already know it. We did an in-depth study here. We talked about the lineage. Where'd Brother Derek at? Derek's out there. We talked about the lineage. We talked about not only that, we talked about the translators. We talked about a lot of that stuff a few years ago in Bible school. So if you want a copy of that, go back to 2011. Go to the sound room and ask him for the Bible school study from the year of our Bible school, from the month of our Bible school in 2011. You'll find that scripture. That was four or five nights of study concerning the King James Bible. But here we go, Brother Tim. He said, don't add to my words and don't take away from them. Because if you do, I'm going to take away your part out of the book of life. He said it was forever settled in heaven, so therefore it's forever settled in heaven. This King James Bible is the seventh completed Bible into the English language. Read our scriptures with us just a minute. Chapter number 12, verse number 6 and 7, the Bible said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Here you go. Write them down for you that look at your fingers. The Gutenberg Bible. Erasmus Greek. Tyndale's New Testament. The Matthew's Bible. The Great Bible. The Geneva Bible. And then the King James Bible, being the seventh completed translation. Preacher, that's just a fluke. That's God. Now, I'm not going to get into Johann Gutenberg, and I don't want to get into Miles Cloverdale, Erasmus, John Wycliffe, or William Tyndale. I don't want to get into all those, except to say this. That were men. I want you to hear me. Brother Chris, they were men that were willing to die. Go downstairs, check out John Fox's Book of Martyrs. There are two copies down in the library. John Fox's Book of Martyrs will tell you, Brother Kenny, about what some of these men went through. That we might have the King James Bible that we hold in our lap. William Tyndale, Brother Tam, was burned at the stake. Not because he was caught breaking into a night watch's castle or house. No, Brother Kenny, he was burned at the stake for the translation of the Word of God. Now, if some men would dare to die for it, Brother Tam, if some men would dare to be exiled or to be boiled in oil or to be put on an island called Patmos by themselves or burned to the stake, drawn and quartered, sawn asunder, if some men would die for it, Brother Kenny, don't you think, bless God, for just a little bit, we could try our best to live for it today? I believe we ought to live for it, Brother Tam, because it is the divine, inspired, infallible, inerrant, perfected, inspired God, Word of God, Brother Danny, for the English speaking people. It is. It's the book that we should hold true. You should fall in love with the Word of God. The writers, Job said that I desire His Word more than my necessary food. I esteem His Word that much. I want His Word that much. And we just take it, toss it up in the back of the car and leave it till the next time we have a service. Take it and leave it laying somewhere until... Where's my Bible at? I just had it Wednesday night. Where's it at? I just had it Sunday. Man, we take it so reckless. We take it so carelessly and so recklessly. Lord, help us, my friends. I'll go back in here, going back to our... Man, I didn't even go where I was going, but anyway, it'll be all right. All Scripture's given by the inspiration of God. I want you to hear just a few quick quotes. Scripture wants us to receive all of its words as spoken and as words chosen by God, therefore expressing the very thought of God so perfectly and so infallible as only God could express it. Listen to this quote from a guy by the name of John Mueller. Since the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, they evidently wrote not their own words, but those words which God Himself had put into their hearts and minds. These men, Brother Tam, I can't imagine pinning down something so divine that it would later be considered a holy sacrament, a holy oracle, a holy word of God. I can't understand it. My little mind can't comprehend that. The Bible says, this writer here said, if the words Godhead, election, redemption, imputation, regeneration, propitiation, sacrifice, atonement, faith, repentance, justification, sanctification, adoption, resurrection, heaven, hell, if they were not inspired and if they were not infallible, then everything essential to the very Christian faith and in our lives today are just nothing more than old wives' fables. Do you know why, Brother Tam, I know they're more than just old wise fables? Do you know why that I know that they're more than just wise old wives' tales? Bless God, because I got saved because of the sacred writings as they were preached unto me. You said, what's so important about the infallibility or the divine, as we teach tonight, the doctrine of divine inspiration? What is so important about that? Brother Tam, how did you get saved? By grace. Through faith. Where did faith come from? Hearing. Hearing what? Oprah? Dr. Phil? Jerry Springer? Who?
Convicting power of the Word of God.
You don't listen to him, do you? We are saved by grace through faith. Miss Wanda, and faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear? Without a preacher. And how shall he preach? Except that he be what? Except that he be sent. Except that he be called. Except that he be sent. Brings into passage how beautiful are the feet of them that carry the gospel. It's an honorable calling, Brother Kenny, to be called by God. It's an honorable thing to be touched by the Holy One. And I count it a great high honor. Brother Chris, you've been preaching, what, 6 years? Almost seven now? Come October, it'll be 7 years. Or eight, seven, six. Can you imagine your life apart right now from what you do? God's got his touch on you. Can you imagine right now you not being able to do what God called you to do? Do you realize you could mess that up? I do too, Brother Kenny. I could mess that up in a heartbeat. And you could as well. And Brother Chris, you could too. Many of the preachers have. But can you imagine, Brother Chris, having that divine holy calling on your life and not being able to exercise what God called you to do? Brother Tam, how would it have been for these holy writers of old, all 40 of them, to have something so divine and so holy that would be canonized and penned down, preserved forever, settled in heaven, and handed down to generation after generation, and then not be able to pen it down? Man, God, he preserved this thing for us, my friends. He inspired it. He breathed on it, and he perfected it. He keeps it, and he guards it. I mean, it's eternal. The psalmist wrote in 119, I believe it was 89, it says that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119 and 152 said, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Psalm 119:16 said, thy word is true from the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I'm done tonight. I just barely scratched the surface on the doctrine of divine inspiration. Listen, don't stop coming on Wednesday nights just because I'm trying to teach and I'm not a teacher. Please don't do that. Don't give up and throw in the towel just yet. And I'll try my best to let you know ahead of time. I didn't know where I was going to go with this just till a couple of days ago. Tam, I was going to creation. I kept trying to go to creation. I got to go to creation because that's where it all started. I can't go to creation, brother, except that there first be a creator. So now, Brother Tam, I got to go to God. I've got to preach God. Well, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. How am I going to go to preach God whenever they're one? How am I, the three are one? How am I going? Brother Kenny, God said, you tell them about my word. Because everything that you teach beyond tonight will come out of that word. That's how we know that there's a God, because of his word. That's how we know that creation, that's how we can throw Darwin in the creek. We can just throw him in the muddy waters, brother, because that's where he come from. He come from a tadpole somewhere. Put him back in the swamp where he come from. But that's how we know that we can teach what we teach, because the rest of it is found within the pages of this book. My friends, this book is divinely inspired, or it's not. It's all in, or it's not. It's all true, or it's not. It's forever settled, or it's not. I suggest that everything in this book is it, Tim. There's nothing to add, nothing plus, nothing minus. It's all right here, Brother Steve. And to suggest that there's still yet some unfound works out there, you're wrong. He said it's forever settled. So, Brother Scott, I don't know how to finish tonight. You can pray if you want to pray. We've got many things we can pray about. Hard